Carry on. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us. And we've been looking at the final judgments, and we were able to see the seven bowls of judgment, which are seven plagues that God will pour out, you know, on the earth and on those who took the mark of the beast. And those, you know, we've seen already the church is raptured, the church is out of the way, and judgment is being poured out. And what we saw, there were seven plagues that were poured out. And, you know, from Revelation 16, 17, and then now is all judgment. And then now even 18 and 19, in chapter 17 and 18 and 19, now we'll see the judgment of Babylon. And Babylon really refers to the, you know, to the world systems, to the system of darkness, you know, that rules over the affairs of men. And remember, you know, there's a kingdom above this kingdom of ours. You know, there's a kingdom that is invisible kingdom, which is the kingdom of the devil. And there's a kingdom that controls the affairs of this world, you know. And I mean, they're called in various ways. There are those that look at them as Illuminati, or there are those that look at them as, you know, the prince of darkness, the prince of the air. You know, there are systems that seek to control, and this is what we'll be able to see. And this is what the Bible refers to as Babylon, you know. And today we are in Revelation chapter 18. And we are now seeing the judgment of Babylon, and who is also called the great prostitute. So we'll see. Sorry, we'll start in 17, and we'll also read up to 18. So we're going to read in Revelation chapter 17. It says, one of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me. Come with me, he said, and I will show you the judgment that is going to come on the great prostitute who rules over many waters. And the kings of this world have committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality. So the angel took me in the spirit into the wilderness, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, on a red beast, that had seven heads and ten horns, and blasphemies against her were written, against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. In her hands she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. I could see that she was drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Verse 7, why are you amazed? The angel asked. I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns on which she sits. The beast you saw was once alive but isn't now, and yet he will soon come out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of the beast who had died. This calls for a mind with understanding. The seven heads of the beasts represent the seven hills where the woman rules. They also represent seven kings. Five kings have already fallen, the sixth now reigns, and the seventh is yet to come. And the scarlet beast that was but is no longer is the eighth king. He is like the seven other seven, and he too is headed for destruction. The ten horns of the beast are ten kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. They will agree to give him their power and authority. Together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings, and is called chosen and faithful, and his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. Then the angel said to me, The waters where the prostitute rules is ruling represent masses of people of every nation and language. The scarlet beast and its 10 horns all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, burn her remains with fire. For God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. And this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world. So you can't see that, you know, that when we are seeing that judgment, when judgment is falling, you remember now the 7 bowls are fallen, and even that great city, you know, Babylon, was split, you know, 3 times. But now we are now seeing, that's what I was saying, there's a city, or rather there are systems of men that control, or demonic systems that control the affairs of this world. And that's what we are seeing. There is a great city that rule over the affairs of this man. And what you realize is, you know, when people want to, you know, to rise, whether it's in music, whether it is industry, whether it is in, you know, entertainment, what they do, they go and what they say from themselves, that they go and make a deal with the devil, in that they go and sell their souls, and when they're given that, they're given the authority, you know, and they're given the influence. But you see, anything that Satan gives comes at a cost. So eventually they are forced to, you know, to pay a heavy price for it, and many sometimes lose their souls, many lose their dignity, many are sometimes made to, you know, to promote something that, you know, they were not doing at the onset. But then it is because there's a great city that rules. And this is what the Bible tries to describe for us. It tries to show us in symbolism that she is described as a woman, as a great prostitute, who, you know, is sitting on a red beast, on a scarlet beast that has 7 heads and 10 horns, and has blasphemies against God. You know, and you can see all the pomp, the jewelry, the gold, precious gems and pearls, and she is full of obscenities and impurities. She's in fact, on her forehead is written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You know, she's the mother, great mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. And you can see that not only is she evil in terms of, you know, getting drunk in immorality, but she's also known for killing the saints. She's also known for killing the saints. You can see she's drunk with the blood of God's holy people. And you see, that's the enmity that, remember when you're told that there'll be enmity between, you know, your seed and the seed of the, you know, the seed of the woman and the seed of the snake. There'll be enmity, because that's why you see that the snakes, or rather the devil, is always at war and is, you know, is drunk with the blood of the saints. And just to think of it, you know, when we think of a system of the world, you will even find that even today we find even churches that are still running out of the system of Babylon, in that you will think it is a church of God, but when you dig deeper, you will find that you're not actually in Jerusalem, but you're actually in Babylon. Why? Because they have used the systems of this world. There's a lot of mixture, there's a lot of, you know, immorality, there's a lot of sin, you know, there's a lot of internal conflicts, and maybe if you just speak some of these things that are here, we can see that, you know, Babylon is described, you know, first of all, she's described as a prostitute. And when you think of the church, the true church of Jesus, the true church of Jesus is described as a virgin, you know, as a chaste virgin waiting for her master. But now we see Babylon is described as the great prostitute. We can see there is so much idolatry. That's why we are seeing that, you know, people are worshiping the beast. People are, you know, they're drunk full of abominations and obscenities. There's a lot of mixture. You know, you can see there's a lot of use of, you know, that's why you see there's the cup, you know, is filled with so many things. It is full of impurities. There is mixture. That means you can find that, you know, when you go to a setting, when you find, when you follow up the church, when you follow up, you know, these churches that are Babylon, then you find that there's a lot of impurities, there's a lot of witchcraft that is being used, there's a lot of mixtures, there's a lot of use of, you know, you will find there's use of sorcery, you will find the use of traditional things, and you'll wonder, but I thought this is not scripture. Where in Christianity do we see certain things being done? So you, when you find there is mixture, you know, there are things that, yes, look good, there is some word being spoken, but you find there is mixture. So that usually represents Babylon. So unless you have the eyes to see, you might not be able to see. Then we've also seen that they're, you know, they're drunk with the blood of God's holy people. They kill the saints. So there's too much war. There's too much killing. And anyone who stands for the truth, you will be opposed. They will send people to kill you. And you know, there's all this bribery and internal conflict. And the Bible says that this is the state of Babylon. And this is the state of, you know, the kingdoms of this world. And remember all this that God gives as symbols. And remember when we think of the beast, we think of the Antichrist. You remember when we had read before that he was there before, but then he had been killed, but then he came back, the beast that had died. So it's like the system or the Antichrist had died, but then he came back. But then what we see is that everyone will be, you know, is under their control. Everyone who has the mark of the beast, everyone who has not believed in Christ is under their control, but then they are going to be judged. And that is what we're going to now see in Revelation chapter 18, where the Bible says the fall of Babylon. And remember, all these events are just taking place right before the final victory of Christ. Because after the fall of Babylon, what happens next is Jesus Christ comes to establish his throne on the earth, and he will rule in actual Jerusalem, in our present-day Jerusalem, for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, then the devil, the Antichrist, the you know, the false prophet will all be judged. The dead who did not, whose names were not found in the book of life, will be thrown into the lake of the fire. And then after that, what we'll have is a return to the garden, where there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So all these are events towards the end of the world. Remember, the Bible does not leave us ignorant, because God wants us to know the truth. So now the fall of Babylon is now where we are now able to see in Revelation chapter 18. And it says, after this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home of demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture, and of every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations are fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her because of her desires for extravagant luxury. The merchants of this world have grown rich. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. For her sins are as piled as high as the heaven, and God remembers her evil deeds. Do to her as she has done to others. Double her penalty for all her evil deeds. She brewed a cup of terror for others, so brew twice as much for her. She glorified herself and lived in luxury, so match it now with torment and sorrow. She boasted in her heart, I am a queen, I am queen on my throne. I am no helpless widow, and I have no reason to mourn. Therefore, these plagues will overtake her in a single day, death and mourning and famine. She will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. Verse 9, and the kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury will mourn for her as they see the smoke rising from her charred remains. They will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will cry out, how terrible for you, O Babylon, you great city. In a single moment, God's judgment came on you. The merchants of this world will weep and mourn for her, for there is no one left to buy their goods. She bought great quantities of gold, silver, jewels and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, things made of fragrant thyme wood, ivory goods and objects made of expensive wood and bronze and iron and marble. She also bought cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, wagons, and bodies, that is, human slaves. The fancy things which you loved so much are gone, they cry. All your luxuries and splendor are gone forever, never to be yours again. The merchants who became wealthy by selling her these things will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will weep and cry out, how terrible for that great city. She was clothed in finest purple and scarlet linens, decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls. In a single moment, all the wealth of the city is gone, and all the captains of their merchant ships and their passengers and sailors and crews will stand at a distance. They will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend, and they will say, where is there another city as great as this? And they will weep and throw dust on their heads to show their grief, and they will cry out, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners became wealthy by transporting her great wealth on the seas. In a single moment, it is all gone. Rejoice over her fate, O heavens, and people of God, and apostles and prophets, for at last God has judged her for your sake. Then a mighty angel picked a boulder the size of a huge millstone. He threw it into the ocean and shouted, just like this, the great city, Babylon, will be thrown down with violence and will never be found again. The sound of harps, singers, flutes, and trumpets will never be heard in you again. No craftsmen, no trades will ever be found in you again. The sound of the mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The happy voices of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again. For your merchants were the greatest in the world, and you deceived the nations with your sorceries. In your streets flowed with the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people, and the blood of people slaughtered all over the world. It's a long reading, but it is still giving us more characteristics of Babylon. Remember, Babylon is a city, and the sin city, and what you see is, we've also seen, you know, they were extravagant. They lived in luxury. You know, you can see they accumulated themselves so much wealth with the trade. You can see all the gold, all the silver, all the frankincense, all the myrrh, everything that you can think of, they have it. When you think of, you know, of the people of the systems of the world, they have every imaginable wealth you can think of, be it private jets, be it houses, be it mansions. You can see how they trade in humans, they trade in, you know, they trade in all evil things, all immoralities, all adultery. You know, the kings of the nations trade with them, you know, so they have control over powers of kings, they have control over leaders, they have controls over the systems of this world. You know, they live in extravagance, you know, they do whatever they want to do, but you see, judgment will come on them in one day. In one day, the angel will call out and judgment will fall on the systems of this world. And even the churches or the people that are part of this system, the system of the beast, they will receive their judgment all happening. And you can see how they're saying it was a great city. You know, the traders are crying out and saying, oh, will there be ever another great city like this? And they will see the smoke rising up to heaven. And you see, the judgment is declared. God is like, he has sent his angel. They say the angel throws a big stone and says, this is what will happen to Babylon the Great. You know, the world use, you know, the Bible uses cities to describe systems. You know, like when we speak of Egypt, we speak of slavery. You know, we think of, you know, people who are in slavery, people who are working, yes, but they're not earning, they're not receiving the breakthrough of their lives, they're not seeing answers around them because they're in slavery. And, you know, they end up being slaves. Babylon is about mixture, is about idolatry, is about immorality, is about, you know, this pomp and this trade, and where you just find, you know, you can see that this church is just full of trade. Everything is just about how much to give, how much to add, what to buy, selling of this, selling of this, selling of these goods. This thing will, when you do this, you will do this. So there's too much transaction. You know you are in Babylon. We've seen how about them, the issues of murder, the issues of threats, the issues of power. They are with those in authority. But you see, God's judgment stands firm. Irrespective of how much the world will look like they are winning, the Bible tells us that their judgment of this world will be swift. Yes, we may suffer. Yes, we may be killed by them. Yes, we may, so, you know, we may be taken to prison and all this. But at the end of the day, the victory belongs to the saints. The victory belongs to those who put their hearts in Jesus. And what does God want us? Verse 4 of 18. Another voice from heaven calling, come away from her. Come out of her. In fact, King James puts it nicely. Come out of her, my people, that you do not be partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. So come out of her. Be away from her. Separate. I tell you, there are things that you will have to separate from. Because Babylon will give you a Christian movement, quotes, but they will put some gays in. They will do this. They will put some things that are there so that they can corrupt you. It is always, it looks good, but at the end of the day, there is so much undertones. That is Babylon. Babylon will want you to be corrupted. It can be, you'll think it is in full, but they do it in part until you get to a point where you're used to the impurities. But because you're impure, you're already not clean. But what does God say? Come out of her, my people. Come away from her. And do not be partakers in her sins. Do not be part of her sins, or you will be punished with her. May God have mercy, and may God show us the areas in our lives where we need to separate. You know, Jesus said, I did not come to take them out of this world, but to give them victory in this world. Yes, we are in this world. It's not that now we are supposed to die and, you know, and just go to heaven. No. If that was the plan of God, everyone who gets saved will immediately go to heaven. But God's plan was that even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. We must learn the principle of separation. We must learn what it means to set aside, to set apart, to set ourselves apart, and to know when to say no, and to know when to say, this is the limit that I will take as a believer, and beyond this, I am not going. And be ready to pay the price for it. Yes, God's judgment is sure, and when we'll get to Revelation chapter 19, we'll be able to see the victory, and we'll now be able to see the victory that takes place in heaven, and we will see how Jesus comes back victorious, riding on the white horse, you know, with his sash written faithful and true, and he will come and overcome the beast, and then from there he will establish the millennial reign on the earth. So I'll stop there for today, and welcome my brother. Welcome.
Thank you, Marlon. Not much to add, but yeah, the passage is a great reminder of how deceitful the system is and how easily one can get entrapped. I think the Babylon system, I think, also goes up to individual levels. Sometimes I think we create our own Babylon systems. We feel so comfortable, so fulfilled, the point that we feel like we don't need even God in our lives.
True.
Forgetting that all the riches and the wealth that we accumulate on earth is nothing. When the day the Babylon system will fall, all that will be destroyed. There's nothing we're going to carry with us. So it's a great reminder that that on that system, whatever prosper, however prosperous it is, it's only for the world. They'll never go beyond that. So it's, yes, it's a great reminder, and sometimes we don't know that we're actually feeding into the Babylon system. Yes, but the characters, the way of life we choose to live and all that speaks to that system.
Yeah.
But thanks for this,
Amen, amen. And that's the thing about mixture. You know, when mixture starts, it's so small. It does not start big, but to let, no, come, let's do this. Before you know it, there's no difference between between you and the world. And that is what God, you know, warns us against. And yes, you're sure the point you brought is think of, you know, ourselves. Are we now the ones living in all this luxury, trading in humans, you know, using men for our own pleasure and, you know, abuse and all these things? And yeah, well, we really need to depend on God and God to show us mercy that we be faithful. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your presence. We thank you. We honor your holy name. Thank you for your word that you have shown us the victory that is of the saints. And you have shown us the judgment that is over Babylon. And indeed, in your word, you tell us to come out of them, O God. God, I pray for everyone that has listened to this word. The Lord, you indeed, you show us the areas where we are mixing with the world, the areas where we are still in idolatry, in adultery, in keeping idols, and in maintaining things that are not of you, O God. Indeed, the Lord, may you help us, O God. Give us the grace, give us the courage to come out of them, O God. Give us the ability to come out of them, O God, to say no, O God, to the systems of this world. And Father, I thank you for the saints that, Lord, them that continue to seek your face, continue to trust in you, continue to depend upon you, that your grace, your power, your wisdom, your anointing shall be upon each and every one of them, O God. I pray for those that are not saved, that, Lord, you forgive their sins, that even as they receive your kingdom, that, Lord, they may be your sons and daughters, O God. Remember our needs, remember our family members, remember those around us who are looking to you, O God, who are trusting in you for favor, trusting in you for grace, that, Lord, we depend upon your promises, that they are yes and amen, O God. We look unto you. You are our Father. You are our all in all. In all these things, we trust in your promises, O God. Guide us, protect us, keep us, O God. Sustain everything that concerns us, O God. We look unto you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, indeed, and have a blessed, blessed day.
Amen. Thank you.